Just because Emma said it doesn't make it true.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Emma has never told a lie. Not Emma VP. She wouldn't do something like that. Coming up, Emma VP is going to give you her little previews for a juicy gaggle of Week 2 NFL football games. It's time to pick those. Want to tell you a couple things real quick. First of all, though, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Hope all's well wherever you are. I assume your heart is filled with song as you review or preview the games upcoming here this weekend. It really is a spectacular string of games we have coming up. Couple things. The NFL Pick'em Show Week 2, Around the NFL Heroes, Scouts Remove the Sticks, and the DDFP all making picks with Maurice Jones-Drew, Cynthia Freeland, Matt Money Smith, and the others just mentioned there. Be on the lookout for it on Saturday and every Saturday in season, 9 a.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern, then Sunday morning, that's Saturday, and then Sunday at 6 a.m. Eastern. A lot of times you can get it, but make sure you catch at least one of those. Also, while I'm self-promoting, we have another episode of The Eternal Red Zone, this one focused on quarterback debuts on NFL Network and available on digital, on Facebook and otherwise. Emma VP behind the glass. When does the new Eternal Red Zone air? Thursday?
That one airs Thursday, so today, if you're listening.
Right.
9/14, September 14th at 2:30 Eastern.
9/14. All right.
So what if it's tomorrow?
So 2:30 Eastern today.
Yesterday. So then what? How would I, if it's tomorrow, how would I watch it today?
You would go ahead and watch it on the website.
Okay.
At NFL.com/GDFP.
Thank you.
No problem.
There you go.
Great
work. So track it
down. Trying to help everyone out.
On digital, thank you. The voice you just heard there belongs to our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Let's say hello to him right now, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you? A week delayed for your pro football team starting.
I know. Opening weekend. I'm so excited.
Yeah? How do you feel about this one?
Well, it's good to get the fifth weekend of the preseason out the way last weekend, and I'm very excited. I'm actually going to watch
the
Miami Dolphins
way,
in their opening game against the Los Angeles Chargers in their brand new stadium. Pretty exciting.
Mm. One of many real legitimately intriguing. I know it's just week two, but there are ones that you saw before the season and you would have circled and said, ooh, that sounds like a good one, like Green Bay and Atlanta, for instance. But now all of a sudden, after the Vikings' performance on Monday Night Football, that one feels like, ooh, that's going to happen in that game. There are a lot that fit that description. I think the Cowboys and Broncos, I know America's team is always compelling to people, but the Broncos are a little bit bad. I'm surprised they could move the ball with Simeon the way they did against what I figured to be a great Chargers defense.
Yeah, and it's a bit surprising because I think you and I, we caught up on Monday just as the Monday night games were kicking off, and I confess to you, and this isn't necessarily the most popular opinion to share, but that I was left Sunday a little bit underwhelmed by football.
Hmm.
I didn't leave Sunday thinking, I mean, I did. I was like, wow, football's back. That's nice. But then actually what I was seeing with my eyes was not as exciting as I was hoping it might be.
I agree. The overall quality of play seemed down a bit for whatever reason. And, I spend all of August every year saying, do we need the preseason, the four games and everything? Maybe the guys that are going to be playing in September actually need to get more involved in August now.
Maybe.
Because they did not.
Because they can do less in camp and they can do less
during the offseason. Yeah, they just collectively didn't come out of the gate looking all that good. All right, let's say hello to a pair with whom I fell very much in love last year here at NFL Media. They are. It's not just because I'm trying to stay relevant with the young people out there. These two hipsters really emerged as wise in the ways of fantasy football and regular football too. First of all, let's say hello to one half of the fantasy hipsters and Pittsburgh Steelers fan Matt Franchise. How are you, Francisco?
How's it going, Dave? I'm doing well. Excited for the season, fantasy football, or we're underway here.
Before we jump into doing the game picks, Red Challenge Flag style, I do have a fantasy question for you.
Yeah.
Make sure you track down NFL.com all of Matt Franciscovich's great work, also on Twitter and NFL Fantasy Live, the podcast and the TV show and beyond. Then the other half of them, the bigger half of the fantasy hipsters. Confirm. Physically, I mean.
Yeah.
Well,
you could take it any way you want.
Oh,
I feel slighted.
Is that what heat. Is that
an emerging theme out of the 2017 football season? An early emerging theme is franchises mounting insecurities.
I'm very insecure right now.
It sounds like you're trying to
make
it.
Now I'm trying to make it worse.
I think you're the bully. You're the bully that's making it. Yes. I'm gonna boost him the whole way through this show.
Okay.
I'm gonna give him all the plaudits he needs to feel better about.
You understand though that
you knock him down a peg.
Exactly.
Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin first achieved great fame, then they had their rift.
Split.
You guys don't skip the middleman, because that's really the important step here.
I'd like to do things a little off the beaten path. So.
I was also going to make the Wham analogy when you're positioning yourself, Matt Harmon.
I don't understand that.
The George Michael.
George Michael of Wham.
It's a band. That's a golden oldie.
Okay, cool.
You don't know who that is.
You don't know who George Michael is.
Yeah.
Let's hear his music created by the One Man House Band. It's Matt Harmon.
Hipster with a dog. Backyard Banter is his blog. A fan of nature and stuff. Can't miss his facial scruff. CBS sitcom nerd. This writer has a way with words. He's Harmon, Matt. Hey fella, what's on tap?
Wow, it's so been a while wonderful. Since I've heard that. How about that, Matt Hart? Franchise, does that make you more insecure that he has a theme song?
I think you should have it. Yeah. And I'm going to sing one for you, Franchise.
Where do we mute?
Not now.
I'm the only one on here without my own intro now. So,
and that's kind of what I'm saying.
I think I might just leave.
You got the best beard in the house, though.
Oh, I'll take it. I'll stay now.
I retired from the beard
by
game.
By far.
So.
All right. One last question, just because we were talking about it before we got rolling here. Obviously, that wasn't the one-man house band, Dick Banks. That was Emma VP and Sydney singing?
Yeah.
The departed Sydney, but happy birthday to her over in Utah. That was a great
– Is it her birthday?
Combo, yeah. It was a great duo there and a lovely song there for Harmon.
Still moving.
I think it's interesting to just hear where people picked up, where you became loose, when the lights turned on for you with pro football. When did you first become interested? I'll start with you, Handsome Hank. What was the first Super Bowl you remember watching?
The first Super Bowl I watched was Super Bowl 20.
Oh, is that right? With the Steve Grogan, Tony Eason, getting whipped by the Chicago Bears.
The refrigerator Perry, who'd sort of become one of the biggest stars in the UK at the time. That was the first Super Bowl I remember I watched. I didn't watch it live because I was a young boy at that time, but I had a VHS cassette, which my father had recorded. And then probably 2 weeks later, the Bears announced they were coming to play at Wembley Stadium against the Dallas Cowboys. And my birthday present was two tickets to that.
Wow. I'm surprised that you could maintain interest in football after watching Super Bowl 20, which was one of the worst games you could ever want to take a look at.
Well,
a whipping.
Yeah. But I'm persistent like that, Dave.
Good for you. Franchise,
thank you.
When did you start watching?
I believe the first Super Bowl I actually have a memory of was the Giants against Buffalo in 1991. But the one I really remember,
one of the great games ever played in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, and that was like the start of the Bills' four losses in a row. But the one I really remember was when the Steelers played the Cowboys. I think it was 1995.
30, yeah. January of 96.
At that point, I hated the Cowboys because I was – they were just so good, you know. As a kid, you were like, oh, you wanted the underdog to win. I think that's what started my Steelers fan.
That one makes me sick because the Steelers, as a Steelers fan, they had that game won. They really could have won that game and vanquished one of the great dynasties in NFL history. Matt Harmon, how say you?
I think, I was joking about this before we started taping, that the first Super Bowl I have memory of is when the Steelers played the Cardinals, but that's being a little facetious. I think the first Super Bowl I probably legitimately do remember watching is either the first one, the Rams beat the Titans, or the Ravens.
The first year I lived in Los Angeles after I'd gone to college and lived in Chicago for my entire 20s.
Right. Okay, so
then I get
here.
That's when your first game you remember.
What year was that? That was 1999, right?
99.
Yeah, so I was 8. So I think that's legitimate.
Well, I remember watching Super Bowl 12. when the Cowboys beat the Denver Broncos. A preview of the matchup this Sunday. How
this
about
that? Interesting. Is that how we got here?
Yeah. And
you
didn't know I was
purpose.
About to ask you this. The first game you remember watching was those 85 Bears completing the feat and winning that Super Bowl. I am bothered by, and it came up again on Twitter, a citizen of the Czech Republic.
Was that a statement or a question?
Well, I'm going to tell you about my statement. D. Witness reminded me of something that has bothered me. Sometimes we get some of our references about pro football get outdated. And I think the one about like, hey, it's not like they were playing the 85 Bears out there. We have to update that reference. Mm. What should it be, Handsome? Should it be like, because it's not satisfying to be like, it's not like they're playing the odd $3.
And we're talking specifically about a great defense rather than
yeah, let's just update
overall.
That reference for the kids. See, as we learned, franchise has no idea what that even means.
I think the Bucks of 2003 is the one that would make the most sense most recently, but I'm not sure that that's going to do anything for anyone.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the turn of the century Ravens.
Right.
That was the one I was going to suggest, was the 2000 Ravens.
Well, I was trying to be a bit more modern than you. Harmon, as usual.
What? Franchise,
but not as much as franchise is about to be. Look what franchise is about to come up with. This is going to be great.
I'm lost. We'll I don't know what's going on anymore.
It can't be the it can't be Harmon's first Super Bowl. The Cardinals and Steelers. The Steelers had the best defense, right. But of course Roethlisberger had to save that defense with the game winning.
What do you think it should be, Dave? I know you want.
I mean, the best defense I've ever seen. Best defense. That's a good question. The thing with the 85 Bears, as I've said, we don't really have time to indulge this conversation.
No, well, then can we just settle it could actually be the 85 Bears?
I hate to say it. The best defense I've ever seen has to be that Ravens defense.
It was pretty good.
It was decent.
You were
they went through a stretch. They went through a month without scoring an
offensive alive.
Touchdown.
I saw it.
I mean, they were about as smothering. In the 21st century, I guess the Seahawks, that would be one.
I think what about the Broncos of the 2015 Broncos?
Yeah, I resent that team because the Steelers should have won it a mile high.
Well, so I feel like the problem is we're really trying to do a good thing here by updating these references, but your personal agendas keep getting in the way.
You just heard me say the Ravens, much as it pains me to say the 2000 Ravens.
So let's just go with that.
I have a generous spirit. All right, next up, the fantasy hipsters. Let me ask you this, and Handsome, feel free to weigh in. In my auction league, the big my big one, the kickout league.
Yeah.
So I consulted you guys before we drafted, and I said, so it's a $200 auction overall, and you go around the table, and all the owners nominate a name. First name up for bid was David Johnson. Now, I said to you guys the day of the draft, what about if I try to corner the market, 10-team league, and just get David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, no matter how much they cost, and then I'll let the chips fall where they may after that? First name up, David Johnson. Got bidding up, went to $70. Everybody else decided that's too rich for their blood. Damashek owns David Johnson at $70. The third name of all the names in pro football to come up, Le'Veon Bell comes up. I go up to 70, but then the diabolical Cousin Sal goes 71, and I say, I better not do this. I better back off so I don't get Le'Veon Bell. Now I have David Johnson, $70. I ended up having a good team. Otherwise, I get Leonard Fournette. Where do I go now? Who's the waiver wire pickup of the week for me? And I do have Kerwin Williams.
Is it PPR, did you say?
No.
It's not PPR because I would say Tariq Cohen. He's the hottest name this week. But I don't know how much value he's going to have in a standard league because I think Jordan Howard's still going to get the touchdowns there. But, you know.
Buck Allen?
Maybe a guy, Allen's a good one. Maybe a guy like Chris Carson in Seattle.
That is the name that is interesting to me.
Rawls
is going to
come back and take that job.
Yeah, it's just the offensive line isn't good there.
I think you're right with the Rawls thing, but let's not.
I have to say it because he's on my team. If I say it, it'll happen.
I took a lot of Rawls, too. I think actually, in fact, in our Fantasy Live League, I think I took Rawls. And now I've added Chris Carson, so I'm like, well, one of
I have
right.
those. I have two of them and Lacy.
I see.
At this point, so
Lacy. It's done for Lacy. But I think that
see a big
if fight. There's one thing that we can be encouraged about, if you like Chris Carson versus Thomas Rawls, is Thomas Rawls got the job in the exact same scenario that Chris Carson is in right now. He's the unheralded player who eventually just came in. That's what the Pete Carroll Seahawks are all about: is competition, and whoever's the best guy wins. And he looked really good to me in week one. So I think that Carson is the guy, if he's still out there, that I would rather pick up than a player like Buck Allen, because I just don't know what you're getting with Allen. Mediocre talent on an offense that's probably going to be middling at best, and you'd think he's going to be the ideal pass-catching back there, but Danny Woodhead is supposed to at least miss a month, but it's not going to be much longer than that. So I don't know what you're really getting there.
Yeah, I mean, none of them are great options at this point. But and the other consideration is, don't you go get Deshaun Watson if you're me?
No.
No?
What is he coming?
Why?
He's running around. He's going to score some rushing touchdowns for
he's
you.
He's going to have a rookie. He's going to – five games in, he'll get found out.
Did you see the Texans injury report today? It's devastating.
It's a scroll, actually.
Nobody left. Hmm.
And that offensive line in week one was a nightmare. I tweeted
bad
this
news
out this morning that the Jacksonville Jaguars posted a pressure rate of 64% per Next Gen Stats, and the next highest team was like 48%. I mean, they just walloped that Texas offensive line. And Watson gave him a spark when he came right in there, but then right after that it was over. So
fascinatingly poor offensive line play across the NFL, really. I mean, some teams, I mean, the Giants' story for the season seems to be that they could be in some real jeopardy, and any playoff hopes they have ride on whether or not they can turn that O-line around. It's not like the Dallas Cowboys or the 85 Bears. Am I right, everybody? Oh, wait, where are we going with that? There's not like they're the O3 Buccaneers, you know.
One more note on your team here, Dave.
I'm trying. I'm trying to come up with – I want to make this work.
With the David Johnson thing, and now he's likely out till
December.
Bruce Arians said, we hope to have him back Thanksgiving or Christmas. I'm like, that's a month.
That's a gap.
Fantasy's over by Christmas.
Yeah. All right, that's a window. But, yeah, if he comes back by Christmas, I mean, that you're screwed. But this was one of the points we were talking about, zero running back last year. This is happens with the running back position. In the last two games David Johnson has played, big injury in Week 17 last year, big injury in Week 1. I mean, this was why – I was talking about this last year, and while things broke right for the running back position last year health-wise, we are seeing the pendulum swing back around.
All right. I don't know.
I know this is Handsome Hank's favorite topic of discussion.
I didn't get a whole lot of satisfaction from your replacements for David Johnson, though. I mean,
you could look at a guy like Mike Jamal Charles had 10 carries for 40 yards.
I have Jamal Charles.
You know, it's
who do
not
I start, him
Jamal
or Samaje Perine?
Well, Perine played as many snaps with the starting offense as you did last week. So,
how many running backs do you have to start?
Two.
And
I have Leonard Fournette.
You have one of these people as your choice.
Yes, that's what I have.
Screwed,
James
spent
Connor.
So much money on David Johnson, so now he's in a bad spot.
Thank you for indulging my fantasy team conversation, which nobody likes to hear.
It might help some other people.
You're right. Well, that's why I did it.
It's all for the people.
That's exactly right. All right. Time to get to the main event now. Every Thursday in season on the Dave Damashek football program, it is time to pick the big games, red challenge flag style. Let's get to it.
Red challenge flag picks.
Whoa. Guys, that was the best ever.
That was pretty good.
That was the best
I felt really
we've
good
ever done, and I think it was franchise that helped us.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Can we isolate?
He's trying so hard over here to boost you up, and you're whiffing every single attempt.
Well, what am I going to do?
Well,
I got two. I got red flags.
Well, now you have to do it a cappella.
Do it yourself.
Red challenge flag picks.
Okay, it wasn't you.
You
all right.
Don't know what you all sounded like together.
Delightful collection of football games await our eyeballs. Let's get into it. MVP, as you do every week this season, you're doing a TV guide style. You know when you go on the DVR or you go on the satellite and you want to see what the episode is going to be about and it has the little blurb about it? MVP.
Info.
Yes.
Exactly.
MVP now does that for the games. Start us off with the Vikings at the Steelers, Super Bowl IX rematch.
All right. On this episode called NFC Northern Exposure, not unlike the T-Birds or the Heathers, the Killer Bees are not a click to be crossed. As they make their way back to their home turf, prepare to reassert their dominance against a surprisingly intimidating Vikings gang. Sam Bradford accidentally throws a pick, though Ryan Shazier is quick to forgive him. Bell turns the corner on his week one jitters.
T-Birds or the Heathers? Two hip and now references that the hipsters are probably not going to get there, MVP.
I think they do.
Unless they come back around.
All right, let's play that game. Matt Harmon, do you know what the T-Birds are?
No.
A franchise?
Nope.
You don't know what movie that references? Do you know
a movie, I mean, I'm
Do you know what movie the Heathers references?
No.
That's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward, that one.
Isn't Heather some kind of
a clue in, there's
Heather's
a clue in
is
the
a
name.
Movie with Winona Ryder.
Yikes.
I'm not a big movie guy.
I'm not a big movie
guy. Have you guys seen the movie Grease?
Yes.
Okay. I've seen bits and pieces.
A gazillion times I've seen Grease.
But you didn't recognize the T-Birds.
It's been a while.
Okay.
A gazillion times.
A gazillion times.
When I was a young lad.
All right, there we go. We have a fine description now to if that informs your game pick, so be it. I'm going to start with you, Matt Harmon. Vikings, Steelers, choose.
I went Steelers.
Wow.
Right? Anyone want to throw the red challenge flag there? No one's taking the Vikings.
Oh, that doesn't feel right.
No one's going to take the Vikings. I'm not going to.
The Vikings played the Saints. Let's hold off on like Sam Bradford is our MVP and Stephon Diggs is going to be an All-Pro this year. They played against the Saints.
But to be fair,
rebuilding their
defense. Those throws and those catches were just good plays.
Well, there was one where Stephon Diggs, I think, walked into the end zone. There was no one within 17 yards.
And then the second one, he had a defender draped all over and makes a great contested catch. And some of those throws that I'm arguing against my own pick here, but some of those throws that Bradford made, didn't matter who the defender was.
Who did he throw to in the first half where he threw it about 25 yards downfield right on the hash, it seems.
Jarius Wright?
Yes, that's who it was. Where most QBs in that situation would have put a little air under it to let him run under it, and instead he just threw a laser right over the DB's shoulder.
Yeah.
There was a remarkable throw.
There was some good throws in there, but I'm still not quite – if they do it now against the Steelers, that's a different matter, but they did
it against
the Saints.
Keep it – well, the other thing is the defense is for real in Minnesota.
Yes.
And, you know, Bradford may or may not do this week in and week out, but I do think that – and it's not – I'm not saying that because of the 60 minutes we saw Monday Night Football. Dalvin Cook is good. I said before the season, Dalvin Cook over Christian McCaffrey in my book.
I think that's a big thing for this Vikings offense this year. They actually have a run game, and I think it's going to help Bradford on setting up play action, stuff like that, throwing the deeper balls because the defenses can't ignore Dalvin Cook now.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, I did take Matt Harmon's advice and did get Stephon Diggs, so I'm in good shape there.
Now, wide receiver one.
Are we going to mention the other team that is hosting this game at all? They didn't look so good. They barely survived the Cleveland Browns.
If they didn't score on that blocked punt, man. Mm. That would have been a different
game. If Antonio
game.
Brown doesn't catch what is essentially a Hail Mary by Ben Roethlisberger.
In triple coverage.
11 the Browns get the ball, and who knows?
But wasn't opening week typical of how both of these teams have opened recently? In other words, the Vikings have come out the gate pretty hot the last couple of years, and everyone gets excited about them, and then they revert to the mean, and the Steelers come out a little slowly, and the offense, which on paper looks good.
The Steelers tend to look good.
No, but the offense doesn't normally live up to its billing through the first month, and then gets warmer as we get through the season. I feel like that's exactly what we got again this time.
Even more so than the timing of it was the nature of the game. It's on the road against an inferior team. Yes. Those are the type of games that the Steelers always, if they don't lose them, they at least play it slow.
Right. The interesting matchup here is, to me, number 29, Xavier Rhodes, the best cover corner in the NFL last season, against 84, the best wide receiver in pro football. I don't know. As a matter of fact, if it were up to me, and I bet Mike Zimmer follows Dave Damashek's wisdom here, I would put the big guy, the big physical Xavier Rhodes on Martavis Bryant, who was basically a no-show in week one, and take your chances with Terrence Newman and some help on an 84 franchise.
Well, I think there's an issue between Big Ben and Martavis. They need to get their timing back. Martavis started training camp late. Remember that story where the GM took his pads away? He thought he was going to practice. I think Big Ben only played in one preseason game. They need to get that timing back. I think it might take a few games for that to happen. And Lev Bell, too, was not a factor in this game. And I think his missed time in training camp, he had some rust to knock off. So I think once all these guys, they have a week to practice together, once they all kind of get on the same page with their timing, the Steelers is going to look a little different than they did in week one on offense.
He's not just
Dave, there's nothing else to say. Franchise said it.
I want to say one more thing, though. That was excellent stuff.
It was
excellent. But I do want to hear from the other half of the fantasy hipsters here, the man who also yields every year the reception perception that grows with each passing football season. I felt like it was a little weird the way the Browns were able to take away it seemed immediately like they had determined before the game, one thing the Steelers are not going to do is throw the ball over our head. Mm-hmm. And yet they couldn't get it underneath to Martavis Bryant at least with any consistent or at all in that game. Is that was that troubling to your eyes to see that Bryant and Brown weren't exactly able to – they couldn't get over and they couldn't consistently get under either?
I think that's a fair point. Like we mentioned, I think that this the timing of the offense isn't quite there yet. I mean, these guys haven't played a lot of snaps together at this point. Bryant obviously didn't play all of last year. Bell is still working his way back after his training camp holdout. I do think the Steelers will get back on track in this game. I'm not too concerned about it. To me, Bryant, what made him really not just a great vertical threat, but a great all-around receiver in 2015 was his ability to sell the vertical route and then snap back on those curls. And I think we can start to see that more this week.
MVP, tell us all about the Philadelphia Eagles at the Kansas City Chiefs, heroes to football America.
All right, this episode is titled Read Between the Lines. Returning home from battle, victorious, hotshot Andy Reid challenges himself to live up to the newfound glory by outsmarting his next Eastern opponent with whom he has a bitter history. Kareem Hunt carries the other team on his back for a first down. And Carson Wentz takes advantage of tight windows of opportunity as he and Alshon poke holes in the Chiefs' secondary.
Very nice, Emma VP, Handsome Hank. Eagles 1-0 after defeating division foe, the Redskins. The Kansas City Chiefs also at 1-0 after vanquishing the defending champions. Chiefs.
Dave, the only red I would challenge on this is that the Chiefs are going to win the game.
I don't know what that even means.
I don't either.
So who did you just pick there?
I picked the Chiefs.
Franchise Harmon? Nothing?
Come on, I dare you.
Sweep.
What an idiot.
Holy.
I'm from Wensylvania, everybody.
Wensylvania.
I picked Carson Wentz's gang to take the NFC East. I didn't see anything in week one. All right, I saw Zeke Elliott mowing down the defense there playing against him in the form of those blue shirts. But I like the Eagles. I love what they're going to be able to do all season long, rushing the passer. I'm buying that the Eagles are for real this year on both sides. The only thing I don't love LeGarrette Blount as the feature back. That underwhelms me. Otherwise, I think this team is for real all over the place.
I mean, I don't know if you can call LeGarrette Blount a feature back. He played something like 30, less than 40% of the snaps. Darren Sproles was on the field more than Blount was, but he wasn't much of a factor. I think the main thing here for me is Bradley Roby. They lost him to a severe ankle injury, the Eagles, after making a big trade for him in the offseason.
Bradley Roby. Or Ronald Darby.
Yeah, Ronald Darby.
I'm sorry, Ronald
Darby. I knew who you meant, though, franchise. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Let him twist, though.
In that trade, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but in that trade, that three-headed Watkins, Darby, Jordan Matthews trade, haven't two out of the three of them got injured? If I was Sammy Watkins,
Jordan Matthews, who's not normally injured.
I'd be looking over my shoulder this week because the injury guy is coming for you. There's no injury guy. Shut up.
Look, we saw Alex Smith throwing the deep ball to Tyreek Hill last week. Travis Kelce was not a factor in week one. If they can get him going, I think the Chiefs are going to be unstoppable.
Well, but do you you talk about the deep ball. I mean, is that something that we should anticipate going forward here? I mean, they do. That's why I assume they got Patrick Mahomes is because the offense is in transition officially. And I, in fact, obviously, among many other people, floated the idea that if things get sideways for the Chiefs in 2017, they won't hesitate to go to Mahomes at some point. But then Alex Smith does what he did in San Francisco when time seemed like the clock was running short. He emerges. He rises to that pressure.
If you want to take a little stroll down narrative street here, I think that there is something to the story that, you know, they bring in this aggressive, downfield, big-arm, talented passer in Patrick Mahomes, and maybe that got Alex Smith to kind of think, like, I got to come out of my shell a little bit here because he can uncork the deep ball. I mean, he can do it. It's just been a willingness factor since he's been in Kansas City, so maybe there is something to
it. And a weapons factor.
Well,
I don't
think that's
very
true.
Take that away from the fact that why wasn't he throwing downfield? Well, he didn't have Tyreek Hill on the – on the team. He didn't really have those types of weapons.
And don't overlook Chris Conley too. He is a, you know, not going to be a big factor in terms of production, but he's a talented vertical threat. So they really do have two guys on the outside with Tyreek Hill and Chris Conley that can stretch the field a little bit more.
Derek Johnson was showing up. I know that's not in the top three reasons for that the Chiefs won the game in Foxborough, but that's a nice little sign too from Derek Johnson, who gets hurt a lot, but is an important defensive piece there. If he's ready to go, that defense can be, I mean, with or without Derek Johnson, has some scary pieces. Justin Houston, I dare say, the most unknown superstar in all the NFL. Fair?
He's had some injury issues recently, which I think has kind of put him back under the radar, but he was awesome.
Is it his number? I think it's the number 50. Doesn't look right on a guy who's sacking people.
A dynamic pass.
Somehow people are like, that doesn't seem
feels
right.
Feels like a middle linebacker number.
Feels like a special teamer.
They also lost Eric Berry for the season, right?
Oh, yeah,
That's a blow to that defense.
That's a blow.
And he's been like a lights out tight end cover guy, and they have a pretty good tight end, the Eagles do, in
Ertz.
Zach Ertz. Yeah. I want to watch Alshon Jeffery in this game because he was pretty quiet in week one, and a lot of it, you know, I think people would assume that it was because he was playing against Josh Norman in Washington, but Norman hardly covered him at all. I think it was under 10 pass plays that he saw against Norman in week one. So I want to see if that connection gets a little bit farther along.
Franchise, do you want to throw a parade for yourself because you said Kareem Hunt would be good?
I've thrown so many parades for myself in the last week. I feel like I'm overdoing it a little bit.
I think
that was amazing to see.
I appreciate you having a little bit of dignity here. Everybody who's patting themselves on the back about Kareem Hunt for how good he was, you had no idea who Kareem Hunt was 2 weeks ago. The people who, I knew it! You never saw Kareem Hunt play.
I don't know if that's fair. There are some people that were definitely calling. I wasn't one of them. I'm not trying to put myself in that bucket.
But this is a phenomenon that happens, and it must come to an end. This thing about, I knew that this guy. You never watched him play in college. How sure were you about these
things? I mean, be honest here. Did Harmon congratulate you on being right on that?
I don't think so. But
I would just said this morning that I watched your stupid video of Maurice Jones-Drew apologizing.
Okay. Stupid video. Look at that. You're really playing that up.
Watching the
video.
Boy,
what a friend he is.
And I said that.
Co-worker.
What'd you say about it?
I said it was a good call.
No,
I was on your side when you picked Kareem Hunt in the third round.
I was confident in that pick, and you could tell that I was confident, and everyone gave me crap for it. Maurice apologized, and then Michael Fabiano called it the worst pick of the first three rounds. Haven't heard anything from him.
Right.
It was very
45 PPR.
But you're not in a partnership with Michael Fabiano.
Right.
I mean, you guys are the fantasy hipsters.
You know, when you're down, he should lift you up and carry you. When he's down, you should lift him up and carry him. I don't understand why he can't celebrate your success.
He's got my back. He's got my back.
He doesn't.
Don't let
these
idiots divide us.
Yeah, he's got your back.
He's got your back. He's got a knife in it.
Oh! That's what that is.
Good job there, Hans.
Thanks. I beat you to it. You set me up, and then I was like, right, I've got Dave's back on this one.
You know what? I'm so dumb. That's why I picked the Eagles, because there's no Eric Berry back there. Well, listen, all season long, Carson Wentz, this is for real. Remember how good he looked at the start of the year? Then defenses responded to take some stuff away from the rookie. Year two, his rise will continue.
And he's got better weapons.
That's right. Next up, let's hear about an MVP, the Dallas Cowboys, the Denver Broncos.
Choose.
All right, this episode, Vancing with the Stars. Vance starts to get new job, but just as he's settling in, things take a turn for the worse when Dez Bryant willfully invades his strict no-fly zone. Dak has a bad dream about Von Miller that unfortunately becomes a reality, as well as a loss of 10 yards. Beasley vows to make a reception using only his left foot, eager to outdo his nifty behind-the-back grab from last week's episode.
Very nice, MVP.
These are wonderful. The week one
descriptions were strong. I dare say that these blow those out of the water.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Matt Franchise, better. Who's going to blow whom out of the water in Denver? Cowboys, Broncos.
I've
Super Bowl 12 rematch. Choose.
I've gone ahead and picked Dallas to win this game over Denver.
All right. Anybody going to
throw him at me?
Nope. That's one.
Oh, what a gentle little toss. Are you afraid you're going to hurt Franchise?
Yeah, I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Poor Very insecure. Franchise can't take a manly throw.
That's
Is that what you're implying?
That's what I'm implying, yeah.
All right. Do you have a manly throw? I don't know.
Harmon, as the rules state, so, you must now explain why you threw the challenge.
I'm in on the Broncos, man. It's in Denver. I think their defense looked really good last week. They were really great stopping the run. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch with them and Ezekiel Elliott. And I like Trevor Siemian. I think Trevor Siemian's a good quarterback. He threw 32% of his throws into tight windows last week. So he wasn't just out there making some little layup throws that you think from a game manager. I'm in on Siemian. I think he's a good starting quarterback. He's got two great receivers. Their running game looked pretty good too. I think the Broncos are a much better team than I expected. And I think they can win this game. They can hold Dallas's offense to under 20 points, and I think they can put up over 20.
The thing that struck me watching the Monday night game against the Chargers, that the Chargers just about rallied to force OT or stole in the last minute there, is in the first half, I was surprised that Siemian and company could move the ball on that Chargers defense. I thought that that was going to be one of the stories of the AFC this year, is how dominant that Chargers defense was. And Trevor Siemian was doing it. I think you might be right. I think we collectively are going to have to apologize to Trevor Siemian.
We are.
I'm a pedigree snob. I it doesn't make sense. I know if you didn't hear, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. But for the most part, those stories just don't happen very much. So I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I don't know if it's ever going to. Maybe I'm getting a little premature now siding with Siemian, though, right? Right, handsome.
I think that anyone who watched that first game will take a look at the Broncos offensive line and say, yeah, Siemian played well, but he's also we can get pressure on him relatively easily. Both the right tackle Menelik Watson had a disaster, and the That's rookie true. Garrett Bowles was fine, but I think they were talking him up on the broadcast better than he actually played.
Yeah, but that's the point. Bosa and Ingram they were getting a pass rush. It's not like Siemian was kept clean all game. They were heating him up, and he was still making
throws. And Dallas's defense, that's going to be another matchup to watch too, because they were awesome at getting pressure on Eli Manning last week, who has probably a worse offensive line than Trevor Siemian
but
does.
You know that Rob Marinelli is going to be able to cook up something
that will get their
pass rushers, who aren't great on paper, but it will get them to the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a key to this game, is can Dallas replicate that pass rush impact that they had in week one? And I think if they can, then they might have a chance to go into Denver and win this game. But I don't know. I'm just really confident right now, and after watching the Broncos in week one, I'm really confident in Trevor Siemian.
I'm going to take the Cowboys. I think the Broncos defense reverts to 2016 form and doesn't stuff the run, and I think Zeke has a big day there. Again, you know, we love to hear, you know, we love to talk to Maurice and Ike Taylor in here all the time, and they'll remind you over and over again, players win games, don't hang too much on a coach. Rod Marinelli kind of blows that up a little bit, mm-hmm. huh? It's crazy. Why? I mean, how is this year after year after year now? This is not an 8-game sample we're looking at with Marinelli coaching the Cowboys, who continue to not seem to have a ton of good players there, and the defense continues to dominate.
Yeah, he's Wade Phillips. Those guys, some of those guys are trump cards, I think, in my opinion.
Green Bay Packers, Atlanta Falcons, MVP. Tell us all about it.
All right. On this episode of Cool as Ice, Aaron and the Packers work up the courage to return to Atlanta, the scene of the crime that was last year's NFC Championship game, in an attempt to settle an old score and win back their dignity. After years of playing the field, Matty Ice decides to go steady with Devontae Freeman in short yardage situations. Julio Jones goes toe-to-toe tap with Devon House.
Matt Harmon. It's the Packers. It's the Falcons. Choose.
Before I make my pick, can I ask one question about these previews here? Yes. I see they're all TV PG down there. Are there ever going to be any like that are PG-13? Like if it's supposed to be like a big blowout or something?
Right. A bloodbath in Oakland.
You know, Browns go to the Patriots. I think that could be.
It would be R-rated language if we were previewing the Cardinals and Colts. Right?
Very true.
You're right.
One would think. But I am going with the Packers here.
You're going with the Packers.
On the road.
Handsome.
I'm going to stick with the Packers, too.
I got Packers.
I'm going to throw it.
Oh.
I missed it. Wow,
what
so
happened?
So little faith. Why? Because they struggled with the Bears? The defense is better than it was last year in getting to the Super Bowl. And
they're playing the Packers.
They're playing the Packers, yeah.
All right. We remember what happened when they played each other.
Isn't it crazy that the Packers are going going against the Seahawks and then Falcons the first couple of weeks of the season. I mean, these are playoff games.
Tough slate.
Intriguing, and I bet you this is kind of this doesn't fit that description. I think the team that needs it more in the NFL, which it tends to win those games. You don't want to be in an 0-2 hole, which is why Patriots Saints is a fascinating game all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Same for Texans and Bengals or anybody else who fits that description. I think the Packers probably feel like, to Handsome's point, Seahawks and then Atlanta. If you would have said 1-1, will you take that right now, Coach McCarthy? I bet you he would have signed off on that in August. Ergo, I'm going to take the Falcons. Opening their new joint, by the way. The place is going to be alive.
That's
their
great point.
This is the first home game they've played since last year's Super Bowl run.
Well, one,
that matters. It does. I know it's weird, but it does impact performance.
It definitely does. One thing I'm watching in this game is Ty Montgomery, who played more snaps than any other running back in week one. I mean, he's the featured back in this offense. And Atlanta, historically, the last two seasons have really struggled to cover those kind of satellite pass-catching running backs, which obviously is a former wide receiver he is. And sure enough, they let up 12 targets to Tariq Cohen in week one. So that could be another area where teams are looking to pick on them again. And I think maybe we see some creative things for Ty Montgomery here in this game.
Let's squeeze in a bonus. I brought up the Saints hosting the New England Patriots. Both teams now looking at 0-2, and I know it's a gimme to say Tom Brady and company are going to roll. They're not going to. There's no way that they lose this game, except for the fact that Drew Brees is almost unstoppable in the Superdome, no matter who the competition is. Never mind that he's playing a defense. He's just got 42 hung on him by Alex Smith at home. I mean, the idea that the Patriots are just going to walk out there and dominate. Yeah, I know the Saints aren't a great defense. You know who else didn't look like they had a great defense? The Patriots in week one. Franchise, talk about it.
So I think the Patriots' defense, their weakness is their defensive line. And we know that the Saints have dynamic run game back there that we didn't really see take off against the Vikings. So maybe they try to attack them that way, the way the Chiefs did with Kareem Hunt in the run game. I think the big storyline here to watch is Brandon Cook's revenge game.
Ooh.
Do the Patriots try to force him the ball with their lack of, you know, injuries in the wide receiving core, take advantage of that Saints secondary?
Who gets the advantage of that, though? I would love if somebody had tracked these things throughout history, because it would be a fascinating thing. Is who has the advantage? The player against his former team, or does the former team know what his limitations are, and so they limit him to those things that he doesn't do well?
Week one showed some not so good examples for the player side, and Adrian Peterson returning to Minnesota and Eddie Lacy taking on the Packers.
Like, true. And Packers were laughing. They were.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, we remember why we let you out the door. But yeah, the Saints obviously got ripped up by both Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, as we mentioned earlier. And I think Chris Hogan's a player to watch in that game too. He looks like he's probably going to be the primary slot receiver. He played more snaps out of the slot than anybody else after Danny Amendola went down. So another place that maybe Brandon Cooks doesn't get his revenge, but certainly gets.
You taking the Patriots though? I don't think it's such
a
gimme.
I don't think it's a gimme. No, I don't think it is.
But I would take the Patriots. I mean, if there's ever a defense you want to get back on track against, it's the Saints.
The bottom line is, I think I'm with you, but I think that the Patriots will win. But the bottom line is shootout. This one has to be a shootout. When anytime you declare something's going to be a shootout, it won't be. But I don't know how it wouldn't be in this.
The Saints normally they're pretty good to acquiesce those shootouts there in their own building. So hard to see it not being that way.
All right, let's round it out with this one.
Okay.
It's the Lions and the Giants. Tell us about it, MVP.
All right, the finale of week two is called McAdoo About Nothing. Matthew and his wingman Golden make the trek to East Rutherford, where they attempt to deceive the Giants' mighty defense, but are quickly given away by the name Lions printed on their sleeves. Odell must single-handedly save the day when his fellow pass catchers go missing once again. McAdoo tries out a funky new hairstyle, hoping to finally fit in on the sidelines.
Sad.
It's interesting that the Lions, not to go pseudo-political, but, you know, the Rust Belt. So you have the Browns, who have low self-esteem and feel they need to be labeled so that everybody knows who they are. We're the Browns. See, it says so on our pants. Now Rust Belt Brothers from Detroit, the Lions, also now are labeled on their shirt sleeves. Mm. What's going on with the self-esteem in the Rust Belt?
Yeah, tomorrow they'll
be were ignored. That's why we had to vote the way we voted in 2016, because we feel ignored. Like, Lions, see, we're the Lions, we're the right?
Tomorrow he'll be wearing Franciszkiewicz on his shirt.
That's right.
Nailed it. Right here. Right
I thought
here.
You were going to support me.
I thought
me
you were going to stick up. Now you're on my side.
Now please. You've stabbed me in the back.
Well, I'm trying, but you
slight,
didn't help me.
Slight chuzz.
So. I'm leaving.
I'm franchise. I'm one of the fantasy hipsters. Yeah, that's what your back of your shirt should say. The other fantasy hipster. Yeah.
The smaller one per the top of the show.
Very rude.
All
I'm
right.
never coming on the show again.
Handsome Hank. Handsome. Lions. Giants. Choose.
Dave, not 2 weeks ago, I chose the New York Giants to win the NFC East, mm-hmm. which is why I'm choosing the Lions to win this game.
Already.
I turned on them.
Where's your gut, fella? Where the
no, I when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, Dave.
60 minutes
that.
And that's enough for you?
Yep.
It was a rough 60 minutes.
Did you see
minutes.
Their offensive line? Yeah. Or, I mean, if you did.
Well, listen, I took the Eagles, and I'm going to hold on that pick. All right, what were we saying here? Lions and Giants.
Franchise has tuned out so much now. This has been such a disastrous show for him. He's now just on his phone.
I can't even remember who the Lions played last week. Oh, yeah, the Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
Yeah. Which was
they beat them.
Look, I think if
Stafford threw his four.
If Odell Beckham can get back on the field, who knows what percentage he's going to be at. But, I mean, you plug him into the Giants offense.
Well, then throw the flag, boy.
Only if you believe in it. Don't do it just because Dave told you to.
I think if Odell Beckham gets back on the field, we have a little bit of a game on our hands.
Well, but is it a game that
we're making
the Giants
game picks
win?
Here. We're not talking about maybes.
Fine. I threw the flag. I'll go with the Giants. I'll change my pick on the fly.
You don't have to.
If you don't Odell Beckham, Lions,
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
I'll
doing
it back to you.
Keep it. Okay. I'm doing it. The Giants get on a roll. The Lions defense is not intimidating. And I think OBJ picks them apart.
Harmon, how say you?
I just cannot get on board with the Giants offense. And I remember coming on your show at the end of last year talk about Odell Beckham as like a possible MVP candidate. And you see the difference between him being there and not. Last week was a pretty good example. And I think even if he's back there, though, it was just so bad in week one that how many problems can he really cover up? I mean, Eli, is he even good anymore? Can they even protect him? Brandon Marshall, is he even good anymore? I mean, he was a non-factor until
have the catch to like 30 seconds left.
Right, in total and utter garbage.
He dropped a couple before that.
Yeah.
The good news is the Giants do have a great defense, so we shouldn't slight them on that. I mean, they can stuff the run. Not that the Lions can really run the ball. They also have a ton of players in the secondary. Kenny Golladay, an emerging star for the Lions, potentially. Who knows? But they do have the horses to shut down the pass.
Well, yeah, Stafford looks sharp, and yeah, if nothing else. I know it's simplistic, but if Golladay gives them a different, can strike some fear in some defenses and open things up a little bit. Ebron didn't do much, but with Marvin Jones and Tate, yeah, I mean, that offense has the make. Amir Abdullah, not exactly a world beater in week one either. But I'm going to take the Lions, and here's why. And this doesn't really have to do with any X's and O's. Well, it does because I don't know if the Lions are very good. But for all the reasons the Giants are very good. But for all the reasons you just cited, people in New York were excited about Brandon Marshall. Now I don't know if they should be. Eli Manning and so on. You know, one of the big events in the offseason was the draft this year in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia fans are a lot like New York City sports fans, which is to say they're a tough crowd. And sometimes that's not a virtue for the home team. Imagine if the Lions get up and they're running into the locker room at halftime and the Lions have a lead. Imagine the Boo Birds. And suddenly it becomes a disadvantage to be the home team if you're the Giants going in there. It could get ugly. If the Giants jump on them early and Odell breaks a big one in the second quarter, and then all will be right in the world. But if things are looking dark, the crowd's going to make sure that the home team hears about it. I'm going to take the Lions in this one.
Dave, can I make a prediction?
You may.
Around week 8 or 9, we'll be talking about whether Geno Smith should be starting for the Giants.
I don't want to live in that world. But it's possible.
Cripes.
But it's possible.
Geno Smith over Eli. So you think Eli's done, in other words?
I think the combination of that offensive line and Eli's current condition will mean that whether or not it's a realistic or sensible conversation to be had, let's bear in mind that we don't always have realistic or sensible conversations. There will be people in the NFL world, sports media, that will be having that discussion.
So you're not saying we're going to see Geno Smith start games.
I think that just the same way that the Tom Brady, you know, that 3 years ago, whenever that was.
Oh, well, shoot, then you've overshot it. I think we're going to see that by, like, week four.
Well, it is here – Peyton had the neck injury,
right.
So that distinguishes him from anything that you would say, well, Eli's lost his fastball or whatever. That would probably – people would probably use that as the reason why Peyton dropped off. But it's not like Eli – well, Eli's 38 now or 37? Is he in year 37?
I think he's in year 37. And let's assume that Eli is not Tom Brady in terms of eating only – berries and nuts.
The comparison is to his brother, and his brother, when it went, it was over for him.
But also, I'm not sure that Eli's going to be like, okay, I'm going to fight Father Time or Mother Nature.
I'm all right. It's over? All right. See you.
Yeah, okay.
See you. I'll be hanging down in Oxford. Good tailgating down there. See you for SEC ball. Eddie Spaghetti. Giants representative.
What happened to Emma?
She left. She did her thing.
She's important, like, administrative.
Really?
She just comes in for that pit.
I'm out of here.
She had a big time meeting.
Wow. Eddie Spaghetti, you're the Giants representative. Concern level 1 to 10.
I'm not gonna lie. There's concern. I mean,
I wouldn't want you to lie.
It was the perfect storm of just bad offensive line, no run game too. I'm not sure if you guys mentioned that. Paul Perkins was the least effective runner in the NFL in week one. Eli's age and immobility. No Odell Beckham. It was a bad, bad week one.
I want you and Handsome to team up and start the Geno.
No, it won't. The Geno Smith thing won't happen in New York. He was battered too badly by the Jets and Jets fans. There's no way they'll entertain that. If anything, it'd be Davis Webb from Cal, who they drafted.
That's a fair point.
That's fine.
I'm not.
It's not just solely restricted to Geno. I'm not just saying it about.
Right.
Be funnier.
Just Eli
Geno,
Manning
though.
Gets. Hey, funny. another thing about this game.
Yeah.
People aren't necessarily picking up on. Evan Engram, Eric Ebron, two tight ends with double E.
I love that kind of stuff.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm glad
two teams that struggle to cover tight ends, too.
Quadruple E's.
Yep.
At T-E.
How
two
many?
T-E's.
Five E's. Six E's, depending on how you look at it.
Right. See? Yep. That's the extra level. Do you see, franchise? That's what
I'm learning.
Yeah, most shows don't do.
I'm trying to. That's Cynthia's not here today, so I really wanted to bring what she would bring to this.
with some
game theory.
Advanced analytics.
Right.
You see?
I see. Math.
That is advanced.
Math.
Yeah.
Is it math or science? I can never figure that out.
Both.
Or
what
perhaps
I
literature.
This.
It's hard to say.
It's not just about mathematics around here at NFL Media. Cars are also a topic covered by Lamar Woodley and James Torres. Our own sideline reporter Savvy caught up with them just a little while ago. Let's get it over to sideline reporter Savvy, standing by with the two hosts of Tackle My Ride.
You'll listen to Dave Damashek.
Thanks, Dave. We're here in the green room where I caught up with these two guys, our very own Game Day Ride hosts. And it looks like, James, you got your own hands on this green room. It's looking pretty good. But the season premiere is Friday. What are you guys most looking forward to about this upcoming season?
Just fun that we get to have, you know, together, me and Wood. And then me and my sons as well when we're doing the cars. We just can't wait to see it come out.
Nice. What about you?
Yeah, just for everybody to really get a chance to see the reaction of the fans' faces once the cars come out and just hear some of the great things that they're doing in the community. I think it's so awesome. And being a former player and actually having time to spend with the fans during the time that we're shooting is great, man. I have a different respect for fans now.
Nice. And going right along with that, what is your favorite moment from the season? Just one.
You know, I have to say it's going to be the 49ers one. There's a moment when we're unveiling the car to her that's really, really cool, where she doesn't even recognize it, and literally doesn't recognize it. And I think that was the funnest part for me.
Nice.
I mean, I know you said one, but I have two. So
okay,
it's,
go for it.
It's the Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers one. You know, both of those people are just so awesome, so great. And Pittsburgh, of course, they're going to be great. But Buffalo, we had a chance to go into, like, this country area, and it was some flies attacking us the whole entire time we were shooting, but it was great out there.
So it was worth the flies attacking it. The moment was well worth it.
You know, after a while, it was time to go because they was attacking a little bit too much. I mean, getting close to your mouth, and I couldn't take all that, so we had to wrap that up pretty quick.
Fair enough.
Huh? You had one going.
Oh, yeah, that one did go. Yeah.
One winning.
Swallowing flies on this season, too, so we'll look out for that. Now, you're the two, or the relationship between you two, if you could compare it to something like a teammate, what would you compare it to?
I really couldn't compare it to a teammate, but I'd say it's like Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan in Rush Hour.
Oh, that's good.
I say more like The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Oh, but you're The Rock. Yeah, the Rock. You're The Rock, of course. Okay, yeah. And you're Kevin Hart.
I agree with that, too. Yeah.
All right. Those are good. Those are good comparisons. We cannot wait for season two. Back to you, Dave.
Good stuff, Savvy.
Nice.
Lamar Woodley, beautiful. James Torres. There you have it. Make sure you tune in and watch Tackle My Ride this season. And I can't wait to watch pro football this week.
Can I give you a shameless plug as well?
I'd like
to. Well, it's not a plug for anything for me. But on this Friday is the birthday of the greatest quarterback to ever live, Dan Marino. Also, to celebrate the birthday, we can all celebrate together because NFL Films have made A Football Life of Dan Marino that also airs on Friday night, as if, like, let's get a cake, let's invite Dan over, and let's watch A Football Life on NFL Network.
That's great.
9 p.m. Eastern. I'm excited about it.
Where are we boozing for his birthday?
Dan, I'm not sure. He hasn't sent the invite out yet.
I'll keep an eye on my calendar. The least we can do is go out and have a few for 13, yeah. Right?
Right. He would join us if he could.
He would appreciate that. Yeah, I wonder, you know, that story, it is a shame. It's one of the ones that people in Pittsburgh refuse to acknowledge the reality of the situation. But he was local kid from Pittsburgh, goes to Pitt, and could have been drafted by the Steelers. But people still – dude, I don't know why they didn't take Danny Marino when he was sitting there. It's like because there was Terry Bradshaw, and they had two other guys who they thought were viable
Cliff Stout? Replacements. Was it Cliff Stout?
Cliff Stout, good memory.
And someone else.
Mark Malone. 1980.
Played wide receiver, but like Ryan Tannehill.
Mark Malone caught the longest touchdown pass in Steelers history. I think it's now been tied or even beaten. But at the time, Mark Malone, number 16, rookie wide receiver in the Kingdom against the Seahawks. I remember him running down the sideline. A game that they ultimately lost when rookie David Trout out of Pitt missed a chip shot field goal.
Also had one of the best mustaches in NFL history, I would say, Mark Malone.
Oh, hard to argue with
hard
that.
Hard to argue with that one.
Also, I remember
he went full curtain. You know, like went the curtain look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My old man, he was the doctor, not the orthopedist, but he would give the Pitt Panthers their physicals every year and, you know, and so was in touch with the players. And I've told some of the stories of going up to summer camp with my old man to see the Pitt Panthers practice in August before the season would kick off and all of that. I remember before the draft, my old man rolling calls from NFL teams. The phone would be ringing and it would be you know, GM or some personnel guy from various NFL teams. Like, tell us what you know about this Marino guy. What's the story? What's the backstory there?
And he never told the full story.
I don't know, even know what that means.
Never got it all the way out.
Full story. That's pretty interesting, though, right?
Pretty interesting, Dave. Pretty interesting.
No one from the Steelers called.
Really?
Yeah. No one. Nobody.
They already had the full picture.
Well, they were there. I guess they probably knew what they needed to know about Marino. They took Gabe Rivera. All right. Pick. That's Eddie Spaghetti, what did you think of the show?
Very funny show.
It's nice.
Funny.
Comedy.
It's we weren't nice here, to, we weren't here to make anyone laugh. We're here to add insight and depth.
And
insult me. Make me feel insecure. That's
what was funny. What was funny,
what made
Eddie
you
Spaghetti?
Laugh?
Just the good banter between everyone.
What are you laughing at?
Almost everyone.
Almost everyone. Yeah, three-fourths.
Who did the best out of the four people in this room?
Of course you, Dave.
I was the best? Oh, that's nice of you to say. Who was the worst?
Let's not. We don't need to get it.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah, we don't have to go down that path.
Don't look at me like
I'm seething.
Franchise looks at me like, well, of course, I guess I would have been the one who would have gotten that vote, but
you
I
see
don't.
Not the worst.
You know
I
what?
See what you were trying to do.
I was not trying to do anything.
You rank us, Dave. You rank everyone on the show.
I was just going to say, what I was just going to say is, well, no, it's not. The question isn't what I think. I ask Spaghetti, and I know Spaghetti a little bit, and I don't think he would have said Franchise. Is that true?
No one did This group is great. This is like, I think this is like might be the first time this was the foursome. If it's not though, but I think it's a good a lot of good chemistry here.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say this is your favorite group ever, which then of course requires that I mention to other configurations that you don't like.
Loves to stir the pot.
Hey, but what we should do is just ask everyone who's listening still at this point of the show to just tweet it at with like a ranking one through four. You think had the best.
No, let's spare number four his dignity.
Just one through three.
That's great. I'm
Okay. You don't want to embarrass anyone.
I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Just rank them
75% of us are not going to take it personally.
Right.
Oh, I don't think
it's a win-place show, you know?
Win-place show, but if you think franchise is a delicate flower, I think you're forgetting that I also.
Dave also takes things a little personal.
There's a reason Eddie back there immediately was like, oh, you were the best, Dave. You were the best. Really? Yeah, that was all very apparent.
We're all snowflakes, Dave.
That wasn't servicing my vanity. Spaghetti shoots from the hip. That's all. That was sincere, I'm pretty sure. Spaghetti knows. There's the music.
Yeah. Definitely.
There it is.
All right, so we'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you next week after week two in front of week three. I think we have Ike coming in next Tuesday. Maurice will be around. The great Colleen Wolf going to be here, handsome as usual.
I'm not, actually.
Oh, you're not? Where are you
going?
I'm
going to London, Dave. There are games in London the next week three and week
four. Stop the music then. Stop the music. See, you jumped the gun.
Sorry, Eddie.
I want to make sure you watch the Pick'em show. Look for it on Saturday. Three times you have a chance to watch it, plus Sunday morning. Get right for the games that way. Download, subscribe, all that stuff. NFL Fantasy Live with Harmon and Franchise and all the other fellas there. Make sure you check that out. The great pages on Fantasy on NFL.com. Handsome doing great work with all the international stuff, all these cool videos coming out here. Different, any language you speak, NFL Now has you covered.
See.
Right?
Boom.
Hey.
Bonjour.
What do you think of that guy
Canadian
on Monday Night Football?
As well. Hey.
Dip.
We?
You think a dip there? All right, I'm not ready yet. All right, now play the music. Do it now, Spaghetti, because that's it. That's it, or shame the devil. All right, for Matt Harmon and Matt Franchise, a.k.a. the Fantasy Hipsters, for Emma VP and her great game descriptions, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, and Handsome Hank, bon voyage, enjoy London. We'll talk to you after week two. Till then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.